So we're backstage with the Cribs for BBC Radio Shefford. First time playing Tram Lines. What's the initial thought?
Well, it seems cool. It's actually a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be. I had a few stress dreams last night, which is always a good barometer of whether or not it's going to, you know, whether or not I'm taking the gig seriously. So, like, if I'm taking a gig really seriously, I have stress dreams. So, I'm pretty wound up today.
I think it's good, like, having a festival in a city centre, I think, is a really good idea. And, you know, you don't usually come across that. When we got down and I checked it out earlier on, I think it's really good. It seems like there's a good vibe on the street and the weather's nice. I had a walk around earlier on and there's a bunch of kids who were coming to the show, which, yeah,
seems
it was
like
really
everyone's
nice.
Talking about it, you know? Which, yeah, like Ross was saying, having it in the city centre, it's unavoidable, so everyone's talking about it, which gets a good buzz going.
I was going to ask you about inner city festivals because you've been a supporter of Long Division, as far as I'm aware.
Well, just this year, this is the first time we're going to play it, but previous years, it's interesting. It's really interesting to see that Wakefield has that now, you know, because in the 90s there wasn't really much like that. And it's good to see that they have that now. And to be honest, the lineup over the first few years were pretty much, there was a lot of bands who's been on tour with the Cribs played there, or a lot of our favourite artists played it. So it was kind of crazy. It was almost like just Wakefield really adopting, you know, those people. So that was really cool, I thought.
We're just kind of supportive about it because it's, yeah, as Gary said, Wakefield didn't used to have that, and it seems like people are doing stuff there now, which is really good. And obviously, we want to, like, support that and, you know, not hinder it or anything. So, yeah.
Now, you've played in Shefford before, the Lead Mill, numerous times. What's it like playing in Shefford into a Yorkshire audience?
Well, I have a story, and without sounding too sycophantic about it, it's actually, when the Cribs first started, we were from Wakefield, and so we basically had people from the Leeds scene wanted us to play there, and people from Sheffield wanted us to play there, and we always felt way more affinity with Sheffield in the first place. There was some good garage bands, and a lot of the early Crib shows were played at the Barfly, you know, at the National Centre for Popular Music, and then at Club Zero and stuff. So it was kind of our hometown show, like, for the first year of the band was Sheffield. So we've always felt really tender towards it for that, you know. And I think that those were some of the happiest days for the band, you know.
We played with, like, Bobby Conn, which obviously, like, was a... that was quite a pivotal moment for the band as well, because he was, like, one of the first people who recorded the band, and that was, we met in Sheffield at the Barfly.
He was one of our first big supporters, really.
And there was a bunch of other things, like Mooney Suzuki, we played with them there, didn't we?
Yeah, garage rock band from New York. They were just amazing days, those early days, and, like, yeah, Sheffield was our home base, kind of. Well, back in those days, there was, like I said, there was quite a lot of local garage bands, and they would... then there was the Sheffield Phonographic Corporation, which, you know, it was a really great label that was releasing a lot of local stuff. They went on to put out stuff by the Long Blondes, for example, who then, you know, obviously later became more, like, famous nationally. And then I guess it's the same thing in Sheffield as what it was in Leeds, actually, just a couple of years later. Like, you get, like, a couple of big bands from the city, and then that really kickstarts everything. You get, like, a lot more bands coming through, and a lot more promoters and stuff. And I think the reason why is because if somebody breaks out of a city, it kind of shows that there's that possibility is there, so it makes everyone really excited. And obviously the Arctic Monkeys, just, you know, possibly one of the biggest bands in the world right now, and I think that obviously rubs off on the youth. And, like, you know, that's one of the greatest things about those kind of when a city gets the spotlight shone on it like that, like, it motivates people who wouldn't usually have that kind of incentive.
Tell me a bit about the new record that's coming out, or the two new records that are coming out, because it's an interesting concept,
right?
This one.
No, well, there's not... I mean, it's been It's somewhat erroneously reported as a double album. That's not the idea, and we never really want to do something like that, but I think it was just misreported, really. We're working on two records at the same time, and the reason why we're doing that is because, you know, we're writing quite a lot of stuff right now, and some of it's coming out really poppy, and then some of it's coming out really, you know, dirty. And there's two sides to the band, I think. Like, we're like, the Cribs have always like had that like dirty, thrashy punk rock side, and but also like that pop side too. And I think that sometimes, like, while we've been working on this new record, we've realized that some songs would be better served like with being treated, you know, as the pop songs at the end. Some of them are better served just being recorded really quick and really raw. So we're just working our way through it and like putting some to one side. And right now the pop record's pretty much finished, so that'll be the pretty much finished being written, so that'll be the first one out. And then, you know, I'm not sure when the next one will come out, but it's already, we've started recording the punk one too, so it's just, it's not going to be like a big double album coming out. It's that was something of a misunderstanding, I think.
Yeah, it was just, like, we've already been in, actually, and like around the last record we recorded some tracks with Steve Albini, and we wanted to put them to one side, and the goal is to go back at some point and just finish that off and turn it into an album, and that's the intention. Yeah.
But there's no rush for that, you know. It happens when it happens. So.
So with those two sides of the band, how does the songwriting process go?
It's just the same as it's ever been, really. Like, for the most part, we just jam and like have fun, and like sometimes the most fun thing to do is to just turn on the distortion pedals and just, like, you know, kind of just go for it and thrash it out. And then other times, the things that's really exciting are when you hit like a really nice hook or like a, you know, catchy riff or whatever. So that's how we kind of, that's just how we get our kicks. And so that's why there's those two sides of the band. Sometimes we bring in demos for each other, but not as often, because then only one person really feels ownership over the songs, and we want everyone to feel just as invested, you know, because that's how we work the best, like when everyone feels equally responsible.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, it's kind of... Since everybody, because, you know, all the band live in different places now, so there is differences how we used to write, but, you know, we in general, it's, you know, we seem to get most done when the three of us are all together, like playing in a room together and stuff. But yeah, it hasn't changed since the early days or anything.
So we've briefly alluded to it, but what can people expect from the Cribs over the next 12 months?
Well, I certainly hope that we're going to record the record in October, and I hope it'll be out by January of next year. So, and I really hope that this is going to be... I'm really excited about the songs and the approach, and I feel like we're making our strongest record. I always think that. But I'm hoping that the people who like the band already will really, you know, understand where we're coming from with that and really enjoy it. And, you know, hopefully... that's a good way of turning other people onto stuff too, you know. We feel pretty good about it all.
Yeah, we've taken a little more time over this record, whereas in the past we've been pretty full on, you know, releasing albums every, you know, every couple of years. But after Payola, the compilation record, we thought, you know, now it's time to take a little bit of a breather, because we'd been full on, you know, for the last 10 years, you know, it's been our life. So, you know, having a little time off and making this record, it's, you know, it's given us a little less pressure. So hopefully, you know, it'll come through more, like, you know, you can tell on the record.
I think Payola bought us a little bit of time. You don't really want to be in people's face all the time, and I think Payola was like a good way of just like saying, hey, we're going away for a little while. Here's a reminder of why you like us, so don't forget about us, you know.
Yeah. Just finally, playing in front of a Yorkshire audience, playing in front of Sheffield audience, playing the main stage tonight, what are the thoughts beforehand?
Well, I just hope it's gonna, you know, I think like Yorkshire audiences, because they're our home audiences, they can be really, really passionate and really vocal, and I love that. But they can also be kind of your toughest audiences too, because, you know, because they do care, you know, in that way. And so, you know, not that we ever don't put 100% effort in anyway, but it just ramps up the contrast, really. And yeah, we're looking forward to it. We haven't actually played Sheffield for a while, so we're psyched. Like I said, I was having stress dreams last night, so
it's going to be a bigger deal than the Tour de France. Yeah. That's how I have to see it. Yeah.